I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 96. Hobart travels to Hanover, New Hampshire to play Dartmouth Saturday at 12 noon. That game on 89.5 WEOS. And we welcome back the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Good to talk to you again.
Ted, thanks, buddy.
Especially after that game, 13-8 at Lemoyne on Tuesday. And you took some punches, you took care of business, you took the lead for good 9 minutes in and protected it for 51 minutes. What did you think?
A game that I think we needed, Ted. Some execution in spots that, are warming from a growth standpoint. You know, I think we did our best after the Great Danes game of, like we talked about on the podcast, that just showing this team what we're doing well and the ways that we're doing it well. You know, I think, you know, when you go on a, you know, a three game losing streak, it's hard for these young men to see that they are working hard and that, you know, sometimes things just aren't going our way. So what are the things that we can capitalize on? Not so much that we need to correct. We can continue to look at those, but what are the positive things about a loss that can lead us to a win? And, so we did a lot of that on Monday and talked through and showed them how physical we can be, how fast we can play, and not to forget that there is a lot of good here because, you know, it might be easy to do over these past couple of weeks. But I thought they bounced back well in a difficult environment with a team that had a really good strategy. Like I told you, Ted, I feel like they had the ball a lot when they had it and didn't take their first shot. And I thought our guys did a good job of handling the environment, handling the day trip, and putting out a pretty good performance.
I thought this was a great example of small picture lacrosse. Not we have to win, but I have to get this ground ball. I have to make this save. We have to clear this clear. It was one play at a time. And I remember back in the days when the Baltimore Orioles were so good in baseball, one of their guys said, one pitch at a time. You take it one pitch at a time, and you look up at the end of the game, and you've won.
Yeah, you know, Dad, you basically reiterated every pregame speech I've given my team, you know, this season, and maybe in seasons past, too. You'd have to ask a couple of our alums. But, you know, I think, again, a big issue that we face with, you know, however you want to define it, this generation, I guess, is the one, the approval based work ethic, meaning, you know, they I think they want approval for a lot of good things. And, you know, they live their lives for, you know, a minute and a half on TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram at a time. And you know, getting them to be more where they are and to be more present. That's the less distracted athlete is something that we as coaches, I think, are dealing with on a daily basis. But if we can get them to be in a smaller landscape and look at the game just like that, you know, I'll rewind to that previous statement where, you know, we showed a clip of Will Delano, who's, you know, still a terrific shooter, terrific goal scorer, you know, at four assists against Lemoyne on Tuesday night, and needs to continue to be that point earner for us because, you know, we just need it, and he's pretty good at it. But he makes a play where he sprints the length of the field and dives and checks a long stick for Albany at the last second. And in our film session, we said, you know, we'll take six of these over six goals any game that we play. It ignites the bench. It ignites the coaching staff. It gives us some momentum. So the more that we can take care of the pennies, Ted, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Well, that leads into what I was going to talk about next, which is just the passing overall. He made some terrific passes. One in particular, he came down the wing, and then Peterkin comes sprinting out of the sub box, and the little give and go. You know, he flipped it over to him, flipped it back, easy goal. He had three assists in a row, four assists overall. Dino had some great passes. I thought the passing was excellent, and I thought the shoot or don't shoot decision-making was probably the best I've ever seen. And guys not taking shots that weren't there and working for a better one and then getting good shots.
Yeah, we felt the same, you know, and you get a good bump from your captain, John Jude, who played more like himself. And, you know, when his hands were free, he let it go to a really good place. Kudos to Lemoine for making a goalie switch. And I thought that second guy came in a tough situation and did a really good job. So who knows what the score is if they leave that first guy. And I think we got a good feel for him early. But a lot of ball sharing, a lot of aggressive play as well. And I thought, dodging at a capacity that warranted a defense moving a bit. And so, I think the pace of that game was still kind of in Lemoyne's favor. And our guys did a pretty good job of handling some solid 6-on-6 possessions and creating some quality opportunities for sure.
It was 9-3 late in the half. You go into the third quarter and go absolutely stone cold, couldn't score, but you never gave up the lead. It's like, all right, if we're not going to score, then we're going to dig in and make sure you don't either. I mean, in games past, we've seen those slowdowns turn into losses where the other team gets 5 or 6 in a row, and it just didn't happen today.
Yeah, and think about what those two different huddles look like. I think I remember you talking about Michigan at our halftime when, we're pumping them a little bit, and our huddle is, don't just hang on here. Make sure that we're executing. Make sure you're aggressive, and but we can, occupy the clock a little bit more, and da 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 da. And their huddle is, everybody better start playing here, or we're cutting everyone, right? So I think the difference in the huddle at Lemoyne versus the huddle for Hobart, Lemoyne is like, let's outwork them in this third quarter. Let's take some chances at the goal. And ours is, let's make sure that the flow doesn't stop. Let's make sure the focus on the little plays don't stop, and da da da. So that might have given them a little bit of a surge, but I do think, again, to start that third quarter, we're getting great opportunities, Ted. I thought that guy made 4 or 5 point blank saves early, and thankfully, Ellis did the same for us. And so, I think there's a lot to be said for complimentary lacrosse, and every game we win, Ted, one end of the field helps out the other. And I felt like at times our offensive end really supported our defense and had good long possessions with that ended in goals. And I thought in scenarios where we didn't score, our defense did a decent job of making sure that they didn't have quality opportunities, right? But a couple substitution things again, a couple point blank shots on Ellis, and so definitely a lot of places where we need to be better.
We talk about goalie numbers, but it's not just the number of saves or the percentage. Sometimes it's what kind of saves. I mean, he made a great save at the beginning of a 2-minute man down that might have saved you 2 or 3 goals.
Yeah, he did, and has done so for 2 games in a row. I think we're seeing, the leader that Ellis is emerge, and great to have him in a scenario where we need him. And strangely enough, him and I just had a conversation where, he showcased again such, a great ability to be a leader and a teammate. And he, with Jack in the goal, his conversation was, listen, whenever you need me, I'm ready. I think Jack's a terrific player, and he has my full support. And so, I mean, how can you not have confidence putting that guy in the goal when you need him? So, he did some great things, and you hear his voice out there, and just proud that he wears a Hobart jersey, to be honest.
We didn't realize this until after the game. You got 13 goals in that game and none from your top two goal scorers. So a lot of guys stepped up in the offense.
Yeah, it was great. I think we love the push that our first midfield's given our offense. I think we need more of an impact from that second group, from that second midfield. John Harding is doing a great job and has shown that he's a very tough cover. I think we need, we energize a lot of guys on this team that are kind of on that bubble of, well, here's where you can impact, and here's where you can help on game day. And we're not promising any playing time, but you got to make a push here because we need some good depth, and we need more production, when that second midfield's on the field. So, and I do think, without labeling it too exactly, I think Delly and Rosie are in a little bit of a shooting slump. Dell hits three pipes again, and we're all kind of wowing and oohing and this and that, but I mean, I'm not. Pipes don't count for anything. They just make noise. So, I think we've talked to them about, how you work your way out of this situation and to keep shooting and to, you know, shooters have to have the green light to shoot, and Rosie and Deli definitely do. And we do need more production for them. But, you know, you get a little bit of aggressive play from Dan Cano. That's what we've been asking for behind the goal. And again, it's hard to pinpoint who you're stopping on that first midfield line with John Jude, PD playing some really good ball right now, and Cade playing some really good ball. So, but we need to complement it above and behind the goal, and need more midfielders besides those three to kind of step up and find a more dynamic way to play offense for us. So, you know, I can tell you, Ted, that you know, the Dartmouth defense that we're playing this weekend is excellent, and the goalie's the same. So, I'm very anxious to see who can step forward here, what kind of poise we can have on the offensive end against some big, long, fast defensemen who are playing some really good ball right now.
Ground balls 31-12. Your guys looked possessed on every 50-50 ball. I mean, that's, you talk about bone plays. They were throwing it around after every single loose ball in the field.
Yep, you know, something we asked them to do, and we're going to again. You know, I think Lemoyne's a good team, Ted. I don't know as though they play the in between the lines game that the majority of Division I teams do, which is their choice. There's no judgment there. It's just, you know, you go to New Hampshire this weekend, you see a full field team that is great on the ground and has essentially outground balled every team they've played, and they're 5-1 right now because of that reason. So it's like, I love that on a Tuesday night we can go to Syracuse, play Lemoyne, and outground ball them by that much. That I'm very proud of that. But we got to put it up against the big, fast, and the strong, and we've got to see what that type of effort can do for the outcome of a game that requires more possessions. And so I'm anxious to see or anxious to see if this can carry over to the game this weekend. This is a big challenge for us after, you know, an up and down couple of weeks here, and we've talked a lot about who we need to be when we get up there and when game time starts. So, you know, hopefully that 35-12 statistic is more of a lifestyle for us than a stat, and we can see that on Saturday.
You did a great job limiting shots. I mean, when you only give up 14 shots on goal, you don't ask your goalie to stand on his head and make 20 saves. And I thought one guy who's not going to show up that much in the box score, who played a great game, was Julian Raice on short stick D and clearing the ball.
Yeah. Pup's a workhorse, man. And I think the again, I think when he's got one of those, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's got one of those profiles where I feel like when he's clicking, we're clicking. It's hard to explain. I told him he's one of those guys that I can always see. You know, there's a bunch of guys on this team that are like that. He's certainly one of them. He's just so visible to me. And I think that's because he's in such a highlighted role and he does so many important things for us. But I can see him. I think, you know, Petey's in that same light. And, you know, I think, you know, John Jude's a little bit in that light. I feel like when those guys are buzzing, our team is. You know, I can see, you know, just that great ground ball play he makes against Albany that gives us a fast break goal. He just has that ability to spark a sideline and spark a roster and make tough plays, because that's the kind of kid that he is. So he plays a ton of minutes for us, and he's in the most difficult position in Division I lacrosse, a short stick defensive player. So yeah, proud of the game he had, proud of the season he's had thus far. You know, I think him, like everybody, want that Moon Township game back. That was the ugly side of Pup and us. But you know, he's addressed that completely. And again, we've put an ownership on him, not just as a player, but as a leader. I mean, terrific student and excellent indoor player, you know, up in Canada at St. Catharines. He's a guy that plays lacrosse year round and loves it. And you know, we're excited he's emerging into this leadership role.
Last year, every time we talked, it was who's out of the lineup this week. Fortunately, knock on wood, better luck with injuries so far this year. Ryan Mealy, the first year back playing long stick defense, and that it's great to have depth at that spot.
Yeah, I mean, Ted, you're going to hear his name so much for 4 years. I mean, that kid's such a stud, and you know, and still working his way back from the ailments that he's had. It's just, you know, again, once the injury's done or you're better, it doesn't mean you're playing at the level you'd like to. So he's been working his way back basically since this season started. So he was out at the beginning of the year and, he was chomping at the bit. We actually, connected a little bit ago. You could see him very frustrated at one of our practices. And it's just, Rye, you got to stay the course here. These are very frustrating things. And you can't, unfortunately, with injuries, you can't skip steps. You have to be in those frustrating moments in order to see the outcome or the success on the backside of it. So I think we're getting towards the latter half of this thing. And he's up in my office watching film a ton and having great conversations and very fully transparent. He's just a really tough guy, Ted. He's energetic. He's physical. He wants to inflict that will on his opponents. So again, this will be a great test on Saturday because everybody he's going to cover can move and can play good ball. So anxious that or pleased that he's at this place and anxious to see him in these highlighted moments.
You've talked about how faceoff guys have to have a short memory. Cole Emmanuel didn't have his greatest game against Albany and then comes out and absolutely owns it at Lemoyne, and then Seamus Schofield goes 7 for 9. He'd be number one in the country if he didn't have enough takes. I mean, it's with Volent out with an injury, it's great to have three guys that are elite level.
Yeah, we might need to have a push here from Griffin Strange and get him in the mix because he is very capable. But I think those guys are, we actually kind of joke around with them a bit about, I mean, they're in this face-off circle all day long. They're talking about the conversations they have. I hate to say it, Ted, they're just so above my head. Just understanding their thought process that goes into, I mean, hearing them watch film with Coach Mule, it's like a physics project in there. And I'm like, can't you guys just go out work this dude? And they're like, well, yeah, we're gonna, but here's how we're gonna do that. So before we get to the work ethic standpoint, here's all the things we're gonna break down and go through. And so, I think Cole's added so much maturity to that group. His demeanor is just mature. He's just he's got that deep breath balance where it's like, you can't. He'll lose a couple, Ted, to your point of his short memory, and he'll come off and he's like, yeah, I'll get the next one. I know what I'm going to do. And in the moment, his coaches were like, well, we're going to put Seamus in. He's like, no, give me another. I think I got this. So, the relationship they have with Coach Mule is special. I think they really trust him and he trusts them and he challenges them a lot. And so, we're pleased where we are right now. Again, same reiterated message. The guy that we're playing this weekend's great. And so, we want to see them in an away environment, in an uncomfortable environment, do the same thing they've been doing all year.
One more guy I want to talk about before we move on to Dartmouth, and that's Nolan Firth. First, he draws the best scorer for most opponents, and I thought he just was like a quarterback on the field in the clearing game. I mean, he cleared a lot himself. Made good passes. You got great clearing passes out of the goal, so you had a pretty good job clearing that game.
Yeah, he's a weapon in that sense. I think we feel like we have another guy, a couple more that guys like Schaaf and Firth and Nick Saadi, these guys that can handle the ball. Again, that word poise with a little bit of pressure, and so he'll get into a difficult scenario every once in a while. I think all poles that carry the ball over the midline do, but that's a fault of the balance of the clear and the reaction to where the ball is more often than not. So we made some of those corrections yesterday, but yeah, Firthy's matchup, Ted, and where he is on the field, it's got to be strategic for us just because he does so much. And sometimes if we put him on a highlighted matchup, it takes him away from all that he does for us off ball and what he does on the ground. And we've limited a bit on the, if you remember early in the season, he was on most of the wings of the faceoff, and we feel like we're in a decent place with a lot of those guys. So he, can maybe rest a touch because he's all over the place and the volume with which he runs is outstanding. So, this is he's the heartbeat of this team, man. I think you see it in his effort with the ball and his stick, like you mentioned, but in all other phases as well. You also hear it throughout the course of the game. He's even calming us down at times. So we love him. It was great seeing walking off the field, two kids wearing, number 91 jerseys that say Hobart. It's very rare that that happens. And so he's getting pictures with these little kids wearing 91 jerseys. And we're just, proud of who he's become. Who he was before he got here is exceptional as well. So anxious to continue to see him in this groove.
This Saturday at Dartmouth, Hanover, New Hampshire, at 12 noon. You've made that road trip before in your time with Princeton. How would you characterize overall Ivy League lacrosse other than real good?
I think that's a really good question, Ted. And it's so strange that you asked that because I was just thinking about the Ivy League when I was in it and versus what it is now. And I honestly believe the surge that Yale made a couple years ago, with Andy Shea and all the conversations of the weight room and how strong they were and how physical they were. The media is awesome at embellishing all things, but there was very little embellishment there. They were really big, really fast, really strong, and very physical. And they ran that conference for about 4 or 5 years in a row with, Ben Reeves, who was, committed here before I came. And if Andy Shea's listening, congrats on the Ben Reeves boy, Coach Shea. Those years they were excellent, and I honestly think that made an impact. And the Cornells, Ted, you see them play. They're not just talented; they outwork you, and they're more physical than you. That's the pride that they take, and I think the rosters that Princeton has, the rosters that Penn has, it's a phenomenal league, to the point where they go play Big Tens, ACCs, who are supposed to have all of these athletes, and I don't know, as though we see too much of a drop off. And if you focus on Dartmouth in particular, Sean Kerwin, who comes from Virginia and who won national championships with Coach Tiffany there, and just is a terrific guy and a terrific coach. It wasn't going to be long before we saw a turnover in the Dartmouth program. And what I see is, again, big, long, fast, physical, energetic. I love their sideline. I show our team clips all the time of the other team's sideline, and just like, look how proud they are of their teammates. Look how interested they are in their success. I mean, this marks a good team. And there's other teams that are very talented and they're not emotional, but Dartmouth's not one of them. They're completely invested in what they're doing, and you can tell with how they're winning. And I think it's a push of what that league's become. Here's how you have to play in order to be competitive in the Ivy League, and they're doing a great job, man. They're an excellent team.
So to go up against a team like this, you've got to get physical. You've got to give as good as you get, but you have to do it in the right way. There's a fine line, well, as we saw the other day, between a clean hit and a 2-minute penalty.
Yeah, and who's defining that line, Ted? I have no idea. So it's a different line every game. But I think making sure that a physical team is cognizant of what, going in the sin bin does to to the flow of the game. So, but we're prepared, Ted, to show them, where this team's at their best and particularly how they start games. I think is the most impressive thing to me. And again, kudos to Sean Kerwin. I'm not sure how they got this home schedule this year, but they've got everybody
Yeah.
coming to Hanover, which,
Five out of six so far. This will be 6 out of 7 at home.
I mean, that's crazy, but I think that's in a karma. That's who Sean Kerwin is. It's, how much people like him, and his dad's a Hobart guy as well. So we started, one of the first things he wanted to do was he called me right away when he got the job, and he's like, listen, I don't know how it's going to work or what the scenario is, but I have so much respect and pride for Hobart. You know, my father does. We love what you guys are doing. We would just be honored to have you on the schedule. So, I mean, how would I ignore something like that? But, and I also think it's such a historic place for our guys to see, and you know, all the things that I've experienced at Dartmouth, all the battles I've had there, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, I think just kind of understanding, Ted, that the nature of this game will be exact. Our guys need to see what this team in white is, how they're going to play. And if you do it every game, Ted, whether it's freezing cold or it's nice out or whatever it is, that's the trademark of your culture and your identity. So it's not like they're going to be different for us. So yes, you're right. We will need to be physical, but we're also going to need to have great poise in this physical endeavor.
On the other hand, they get 45 shots a game, which is right around where you are. They also give up 40. So is this going to be an up and down 17-15 kind of game?
Well, I mean, we'll see. You know, I think you know, I don't know as though they're the type of team that gives up 17 goals, Ted. You know, that's their goalie's great, and they face off well. So and again, their defense is pretty much intact and on the same page. So I mean, hell, if we can score 17 goals, I'd be pretty excited. But I think we have to take this a possession at a time and figure out what that flow of the game kind of looks like, but also take our chances when we have them and understand that, you know, regardless of what the previous scores are or this and that, it's a pretty high-powered offense. I think they have, you know, some guys that can move really well, that can beat their matchup. They force you to figure out ways to support them, and you have some great off-ball presence, and you know, guy wearing number seven who, you know, if you remember in the dome 2 years ago, I think he had six in that game, and so a very talented goal scorer. So, you know, I'm more interested in figuring out how we can stop them, and then you know, we'll kind of take the pace as it comes to us. But we've got to figure out the way to keep the ball out of the net first.
Well, I like your confidence. When I said 17-15, you automatically assumed that you would be the 17.
Yeah, you know, I'm not. I don't have a defeatist attitude. Then. You know, I love this team. I love our guys, and I know that we'll show up to play. They understand how good of a team Dartmouth is. They've talked about it, and we have specific goals. We have an agenda as a program too, and no matter where we're playing or what we're playing, despite the experiences we've had this journey, they make us who we are. So we're going up there to win. There's no doubt about that. But the ways that we have to do it, I think, have to unfold a bit.
All right, looking forward to a good challenge coming off a game where you played well. This has been the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. And you can get all your information on hwsathletics.com. 12 noon game time on 89.5 WEOS. We've been talking with Coach Greg Raymond. Best of luck, and again, taking that next step toward the five big ones that count.
Thanks, Daddy. Hey, listen, let's talk about consistency, sorry, here for just one sec before we get off.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but will Saturday kind of mark, not kind of, maybe exactly your 20th year at announcing HWS games? Is that right?
It will indeed. March 15th of 2005 at Fox Chase High School in Pittsburgh. It was actually Hobart and Robert Morris. That was the first lacrosse game of any kind ever broadcast.
Well, brother, I mean, 20 years in a row, I can't even. I mean, you may have the stat in the top of your head with how many you've done, but you truly become the voice of these colleges, man, and the voice of this athletic department. So we love you, buddy. Congrats on 20 years. You know, I think, you know, Dave Gage may have a little bit of a surprise gift for you, but we're so proud to have you a part of this thing, man. Thanks for all that you do, and congratulations.
I appreciate that, and I enjoy these talks each week. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thanks, brother.